Welcome to Taproot, the only podcast crafted specifically for Signature Custom Cabinetry's design partners, the community where we help one another learn, apply, grow. I'm your host, Victor Spinetti, and as always, thanks for being here. Good Taproot morning, Kent.
Hey, good morning, Vic. Good Taproot morning to you, too.
I'm not sure when the ideal listening time or when most people listen to us, but we're usually here bright and early, so it feels right to say good morning.
Fresh cup of coffee. Our minds are clear. We're at our sharpest point. Best part of our day, right?
Yeah.
From here on out, it's all downhill.
You hear that, listeners? You're getting the best of us.
Getting the best of us.
All right, absolutely. So let's jump right in to today's topic, which is the greater good.
The greater good.
Yeah, so what impact does an organization have beyond its own success? And so in an earlier podcast, we talked about mission, vision, purpose. And if you read our vision and mission statements, it's pretty clear our focus is on serving others.
Yeah, you know, not to redo that former podcast, but... You know, I always say that oxygen or that profit is like oxygen. You know, we don't wake up in the morning and say oxygen or breathing is the purpose of life. But without it, we're pretty much toast. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we like to think about profit that same way here at Signature. We need to be profitable to remain viable as an organization, sustainable. But it's not our why. It's not the reason we exist.
So we exist to...
to serve others. That, you know, there's so many needs all around us, and everywhere we look, you can see them. You know, we find our purpose in serving and helping others and making an impact in people's lives and trying to make a difference. We can't solve every problem out there or even every need that we see, but we can do our part to try and make a difference, and that's what our real purpose is.
Well, that's a fantastic setup for our guest today. So Edith Yoder, CEO of Bridge and Hope. We did a live segment at our annual golf outing this year. So,
yeah, I mean, every year we've been doing this golf outing now. I think it's 18 years now.
Yes.
And so we asked her to come on the tap route. We took our paraphernalia out there and set up right on the course, and they might hear some mowers or golf carts buzzing in the background. Who
they
knows?
Will.
But we did it right on site and just tried to get a good view from her about what they do at Bridge of Hope and how the outing has impacted them over the last 18 years. So
yeah. So Kent, just before we cut to that conversation with Edith, two things. One, if Bridge of Hope sounds familiar to you, listener. You may recognize it. They were the recipient of a Christmas donation several years on our behalf of our designers. And so we heard from many of our designers that, you know, sending a bag of peanuts and, you know, the typical Christmas time traditions aren't really meaningful. We even had a few that said maybe you could just, you know, donate it to a charity. And so we took them up on that. We have changed since, but for I think it was 3 years in a row, we made a donation to Bridge of Hope. And so if you're sitting there feeling like, hey, I've heard that name before, that's where. And then secondly, we should probably give a hat tip to all who came alongside of us to make the golf outing happen. It's a large event.
Yeah, it is. Really, a lot of our suppliers have really stepped up over the years and participated. I mean, you know, Conestoga Wood, Hedich, Hafla, Russell Plywood, Industrial Plywood, Finish Works, Blum, a lot of key industry leaders have really contributed heavily to this effort. And, you know, it's actually one that has been quite successful. I think this year we're crossing the $750,000 mark.
That's
in
amazing.
Funds given, you know, net of all expenses, the actual funds given to Bridge of Hope over the last 18 years. So, you know, it does feel like it's been a significant impact, and it's pretty exciting. So we're grateful for all their participation. Without them, obviously, this wouldn't be as successful. So we're grateful.
Good. Well, here's our conversation with Edith Yoder, CEO of Bridge of Hope. All right, Kent, so not our normal studio environment today here for Taproot.
No, it's not at all. In fact,
I think I hear a bird chirping in the background. You got that?
Birds chirping. You might hear a random four being yelled because we're sitting at the golf course.
We are on a golf course. It's the first time. This is a first for everything here.
That's right. On location at Fox Chase Golf Course here in beautiful Denver, Pennsylvania.
So we kind of set this up in the intro, but the reason we're here is because we are doing our 18th annual golf outing in support of Bridge of Hope.
Yeah. Yeah, exciting times, and we have a guest.
This is our second time we've had a guest, second ever. Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of special, Edith.
Yeah.
You're one of the first.
I feel very honored.
And our first non-signature guest.
Oh, the first non-signature guest. Yes,
so that's
right.
Better.
That's even better. Yeah. So
well, thanks for having me.
Legitimate first, yes. So, Edith, you're the CEO of Bridge of Hope. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, tell us about yourself and how long you've been here and kind of what got you started in the Bridge of Hope, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it is 30 years that I have been at Bridge of Hope.
Wow.
So clearly I started when I was, four. So it has been quite a journey.
You're a year older than me.
Okay, not four.
That means I'm three. Yeah. I'm liking where this is going already.
I started after several years after college. My pastor tapped me and said, hey, we are starting this program to work with homeless moms and children, and this is your calling, Edith.
Mm.
So I had to take that very seriously, and my undergrad was in accounting, not in social services.
Wow.
And I had a minor in religion, and I gulped and said, well, let me see what I can learn. And yeah, I'm grateful for mentors along the way who have really walked with me.
So there's a lesson in there. They say that accounting is the language of business. Mm-hmm. And I realize this is a nonprofit, but it's still organizational development and running an organization that's growing quite rapidly. We'll talk about that. But you had the accounting or the language of business, and that was your entree into what you're doing today.
And I do not regret that. It was the best thing. I will say, when I was a senior in college, I went to my business professor and said, I think I want to change to social work. And this was Dr. John Eby, and he said, Edith, your accounting degree will be the best thing you do.
Yeah.
Get your accounting degree, and you can do different things after you finish. And at the time, I was just like, okay. But I am so grateful for that business background.
Yeah, it's amazing. My boys are in college, and some of that sage wisdom you get when you're young and the future's so unknown and people are advising you and you wonder, do I take it or what to do with it? And that was obviously wise advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I digress. Yeah. But that's amazing.
Yeah.
Good for you. Oh. Well, good. So, so you've been here for 30 years. How big is the staff at the Bridge of Hope?
We have 16 on staff.
16. Wow.
Now that's just in our national office and in our two local counties here.
Yep.
Then we have about 40 to 50 staff in our other locations across the country.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That's amazing. So, all right, we're getting right into the Bridge of Hope piece a little bit, but that's okay. So tell us how that works. Those other locations are, we'll use the term affiliates, for lack of a better term, or that's officially what you call most of them, I think.
Some of them are affiliates, some are program sites, some are one church sites. So we call them locations, but yes, there are multiple ways to be a partner with Bridge of Hope in a community.
And so those are all their own 501c3 charters, correct?
The affiliates are under our 501c3
as
a nonprofit, and the program sites and one church sites are under their own.
Okay. All right.
So.
Good.
Yeah.
And you have how many total locations?
We have 25.
25.
In 13 states.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is. It's exciting. Right now, well, maybe I'm jumping in too much, but I will say right now, it's exciting to see that the need is so great right now, and communities are realizing that, okay, maybe having a shelter where everybody comes together who's homeless is not the best way to do this.
Yeah.
And, we could provide rental assistance and get families right back into housing. Mm-hmm. And it's connecting because of the pandemic. residential programs had to limit capacity. Right. And so we have had so many people reach out to us in this past year, and so many new locations start.
Wow.
Because of the pandemic, and feeling like this is a solution that is not residential.
So Edith, what does it look like for somebody who wants to start a new location? Do they come to you, or do you find them? How does that part work?
Yeah, they come to us. Okay. We are talking with people all the time who are reaching out to us. They might run a shelter and they want the next step for their community, or they hear of us in another way and just want to start an affiliate directly through us and start a Bridge of Hope. So it's really looking at their community and what does their community. One community just said to us recently, we don't have any nonprofits that can pick up this work. We need to become an affiliate. Another was like, we have so many nonprofits. One of them needs to start this under their wings. Yeah. So it goes both ways.
So we kind of jumped right in here.
We did.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I like to say Bridge of Hope is a hand up, not a hand out. And I don't mean that to be derogatory to organizations that simply provide help, but the real mission of Bridge of Hope is to really equip the people you're serving for the future to be self-sustainable.
That's right.
So let's just back up to the very beginning of what exactly is it that Bridge of Hope does? Who do you serve and how do you do it?
That's
and
great.
Let's build back from there.
Yep.
Because that's kind of a key part that I think we skipped right over.
We did. So. We did. That's great. Well, Bridge of Hope, I like to think of it as a three-way partnership. So it is mostly homeless moms with children. We do serve families in general. So it could be broader than that, a single dad, a two-parent family, a brother raising siblings, whatever. But it's predominantly a mom with children. It's a caseworker at Bridge of Hope, so a social worker. And the third leg of that partnership is neighboring volunteers from a local church, usually 6 to 10, who become friends and support people. And so you're absolutely right. It is empowering families on their journey to exit homelessness and to create stability and long-term employment and hope for their families.
So there's a couple ways I think you approach that sustainability piece. Certainly building a support system around people who don't have maybe family or a support system is one of those keys, and that's where the neighboring volunteers come into play. But the Bridge of Hope piece, you actually have a course or a program that they, I think, actually graduate from as they go through it.
That's
Say
right.
a little bit more about
That's right.
about that and what skills or what it is you're doing to equip mm-hmm. these mothers to be self-sustaining. Mm-hmm.
So it's a 12 to 18 month program typically, but we will walk with a family as long as it takes.
Okay.
And we go, we call it whole life case management. So it's looking at the whole person, not just looking at the mom, but what is the family struggling with? And looking at parenting, social, physical, spiritual, employment, housing, budgeting. So it's really trying to look at the whole picture. And they have what we call intensive case management, a case manager that's walking with them. Very intense at the beginning, but as they're coming closer to graduation, it's typically pulled back a bit. But our hope really then at the point as they're graduating from Bridge of Hope is that they have supports in place, friends, new friends through the neighboring volunteers. We're finding a number of the children in our program have special needs. So making sure that as they're completing our program, there's supports in place for those children with special needs, making sure that one little thing isn't going to push the family back into homelessness as they're exiting. I mean, in Pennsylvania, I just recently heard this statistic of 1.3 million households are one emergency away, one paycheck away from a crisis.
Wow.
And so, you know, that we really want to set a family up so there is not... the moment they're completing Bridge of Hope, they're not in a crisis situation.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
have a stability to move forward.
That's amazing. Yeah. So things like job training assistance, skills that are needed, whatever it is.
That's right. That's
you're,
right.
You're walking alongside of these moms along with their support group
from
the local church or wherever. And just really coming around these individuals and helping them get back on their feet.
Yeah. And the neighboring volunteers, you know, it's crazy the things that you and I might just assume we can reach out to other people like, hey, I need to borrow a pickup because I'm moving. And, you know, for a mom, moving day can be completely overwhelming. Like they have not a car. They don't physically know how they're going to move from the shelter to their new apartment.
Yeah.
And I just talked to a mom and she was like, yep, that whole fleet of cars and minivans and trucks showed up and they just moved me. And she was amazed, you know, like that's what people were willing to do to her. And I think sometimes do for her.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I would take that for granted that people would be willing to come and help.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. My in-laws live 10 miles away. My, you know, parents live 3 miles away. I got brothers and siblings and I mean, all kinds of people I work with, friends from high. Yeah. I mean, I have no shortage of relationships. And if I would strip all that away and then imagine myself, that would be tough.
Yeah.
That would be, we take a lot for granted, a lot for granted.
Yeah.
And then not having resources yet to boot.
That's right.
That's a big deal.
So neighboring volunteers, I mean, they can help furnish a mom's house, you know, like an email out to their or a post on Facebook sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, I have twin beds I could give you, or I have you know, kitchen supplies, or you know, we have resources. That's the beautiful thing as we see neighboring volunteers just step up into that.
That's incredible. So what do you see Bridge of Hope's challenge into the future? Well, before we do that, I wanted to ask you about the locations. I think we ought to name them because there could be people that are listening to this that might have a Bridge of Hope program if they're interested or curious about this right in their hometown and not even know it. So can you
You're going to test my knowledge, see if I can name 25.
18 or 20 out of 25 will give you an A.
We were founded here in Pennsylvania, so we still continue to have the most in Pennsylvania. Montgomery and Bucks County, Chester County, Lancaster County, Dauphin County, York County, Cumberland County, Center County, and the newest in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
New Jersey, there are two, one in northern New Jersey, one in kind of central New Jersey. The greater Baltimore area is one of our newer affiliates. In Virginia, there's two, in Harrisonburg, and in I'm not going to guess.
Cincinnati?
No.
No?
We
okay.
We do not have one in that area.
I was thinking there was.
Bloomington, Illinois, Chicago. I'm trying to work my way west.
We'll
Texas, California, Colorado.
Oh, wow.
I'll just name states. That's easier for me.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So anyone listening to this can go to your website, which is?
Absolutely. bridgeofhopeinc.org.
Okay.
And we have a list of our locations. Thanks. Iowa, Florida. Sorry, I'll just keep adding states.
Oh, that's awesome. And if there is none in their area, all they need to do is shoot you an email or reach out to one of your staff and start that conversation.
Yeah, so, we would love to help make that happen.
Good. So 3 to 5 years out, any particular thing come to mind that you hope and envision for Bridge of Hope?
Well, you know, we are in the midst of a strategic plan right now of doubling the number of families we serve, and we are almost there. So that has been our big, audacious goal of doubling the number of families served. So I hope by next year this time, I would love to double again in the next 3 to 5 years. But it really, it's about volunteers in communities saying we need to make this happen.
How has COVID-19 impacted the need? I'm sure that's had a significant impact on what you've seen.
Absolutely. So we are coming up the end of July to the end of the eviction moratorium.
Right.
So we expect to see A year ago this time, we were seeing a number of calls to our locations like we had never seen before. Mm-hmm. And we expect that to increase dramatically again now in this, the end of summer, early fall.
Okay.
As evictions happen. The biggest impact, so we are looking for landlord partners to help rent to our families. We provide rental assistance. And what we're finding is that affordable housing, because families, evictions have been stayed, so rental housing is not coming available. So sure. it's really a challenging time. Our families, affordable housing in every community is just not available. Like, it's at a level now where we're paying more for monthly rent than we've ever seen, just because it's really hard to find. And landlords, rightly so, are more hesitant about renting to families. So while we used to be able to say, we're working with this family, will you work with us and we'll provide rental assistance, and landlords would be willing to work with us a lot of times, it's becoming harder to convince landlords, because now there's been a stay on eviction. Sure. So it's a two-way, like, it's a tough time right now. It'll be tough for those who are evicted, but it's also tough for those who are looking for housing. So some of our communities where 3 years ago, you know, we were averaging rent of $900 a month, now we're seeing $1,300-$1,400 a month. We just had a family who could not find housing, and the landlord said the only way we will rent to her is if you pay a whole year of housing up front.
Yeah.
And so we did, to get her into housing. And now she'll pay us a portion back over that time. But it's, you know, if we were not walking with her, she would not have been able to move in. So housing is a tough piece right now for families.
That's a tough one to solve. You know, so often landlords are painted as the big bad wolf.
No.
And so I think a lot of the landlords I know so often would be very generous and willing to help. But if they have debt on the property, they have, you know, they have costs to
pay
to cover
bills.
And, you know, they want to be helpful, but they can't just do it. You know, there's a limit. So it's not an easy solution to some of these circumstances. Yeah. So good for you guys. Yeah.
We are working like creatively.
A year in advance for somebody who would just be in a hopeless situation without that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so just, trying to do what it takes right now for families.
So bringing that full circle back to the golf outing today, it makes us all worthwhile to hear those types of stories for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the things that I think Bridge of Hope does so well, not to slide off into a political discussion, but I think more and more and more we look to Washington or our state capitals for help. And I just love to see organizations like Bridge of Hope who are just working honestly and efficiently with every dollar they're given, involving the community, people getting involved in creating lifelong relationships. And what an incredible way to solve this very significant problem that you're dealing with, that we're all dealing with. It's in our communities, and we see it in the news. Homelessness has been on the news more in the last year and a half than it's been in a long time, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, I go back over and over again to the social capital that we each have, and even around things like housing and finding landlord partners, it is often because of, somebody knows somebody, and, they know Bridge of Hope. And so that, you know, what we can solve so much if we are willing to do the work as individuals.
You know, it's a funny story, but I don't know how many years ago it was now, but when I was asked to serve on the Bridge of Hope board, like 100 years ago,
20 maybe, 100.
The lady that called me, I didn't ever met her. Was it Kathleen? I can't remember her last name. But anyway,
was it Corinne?
Corinne. Yes, that's who it was. Yeah. She called me and said what she wanted, and I said, well, what does Bridge of Hope do? And she said, we serve homeless families in Lancaster and Chester counties. That was the scope at that time.
Yep.
Before the internet or the national effort was launched. And I remember thinking, there's no homeless people in Lancaster County. I lived here all my life, and I've never seen them. There is no such thing. Yeah. And if it wasn't for a long time, some of the people listening to this might know the name Elmer Martin. He's been in our industry for a very, very long time. But if it wasn't for her saying, Elmer Martin suggested I call you, if it wouldn't have been for that person that had some credibility with me, I probably would have declined and said, nah, you know, I was so unaware of the need.
Wow.
And it's kind of embarrassing for me to admit that, but it's true. It's right here under our noses, yeah. And you don't even see it so often.
I think there's still people that is the sense, like, is it possible that there are families living in cars right here?
Yeah.
In Denver, right here, where we are. Right.
And this is Denver, Pennsylvania.
This is Denver, Pennsylvania. Although we do have a Bridge of Hope in Denver, Colorado. But here in Denver, Pennsylvania, is a very rural area. One of our families
is right here in this area
that we served just recently was living in a car in this community.
It's easy when you see it far, far away on TV. You see pictures, but when it's right here in your hometown, it brings it home to a whole new level.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit ago what your greatest need was at Bridge of Hope. I think we may have already touched on it. I'm not sure. But I want to give you a chance to just share with our listeners what your greatest need is right now.
Does it have to be just one?
Well, no.
I mean, I think landlord partners is what we're looking for.
Affordable housing.
We want landlord partners who will work with us and with the moms we're serving. Mm-hmm. And we provide rental assistance, so landlords can feel confident they're going to get their monthly rent. But the other thing is neighboring volunteers from local churches, because if we do not have neighboring volunteers stepping forward, we can't serve our next family. Every family needs to have neighboring volunteers. And so it's up to churches in the community, or Bible studies, or house churches, or it doesn't have to be like that institutional church, but the gathering worshiping group of faith people. And then the third is rental assistance. Like, that's our financial piece that we provide, and it's our largest single item on our budget in every community. So those are our three things.
Wow. Well, Edith, it's an honor to walk alongside of you all these years. I think this is our 18th year that we're doing this.
It is.
I'm curious, how did this come to be with
this
predated your service on the board predated the outing?
Yes.
It did, yeah.
So how did the outing come to
be? This is Kent's vision.
Yeah. I felt that we needed, I wanted to be able to come together as an organization and just do something for an organization that I felt, our organization, Signature, doing something for another to give back. And I'd served on the board for a number of years, was part of the initial board that launched the national vision. That was an exciting time.
Yeah.
And when my board service ended, I just... I wanted to do this golf outing, so it's how we started. 2004 was the first one we did. Yeah. So
we are so grateful to Signature, and now Bombergers has come along the side, and so just thank you for your leadership in this.
And and for those listening, you know, really what we've done is we've invited a lot of our suppliers at Signature to come along side of us and support, and they've been so generous over the years, but. You know, Russell Industrial Plywood, Conestoga Wood Specialties, Susquehanna Valley. Mm. There's Blum, Hayfla, Hedditch. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've just had so many big name sponsors over the years in our industry walk alongside of us in this event. And we're going to come really close to $750,000 net to Bridge of Hope over the last 18 years.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big milestone. We're excited about that and hope to continue to do it.
So. We are so incredibly grateful, and it's so fun to see people coming back over the years and how much they love this tournament. You guys put so much work into making this a well-run event. That's what people know.
One of our vendor partners today said this is my favorite event of the year to look forward to.
Yep.
So that's a testament to it, yeah.
So I'm not much of a golfer, but the first year we did this, I said we're going to raise $50,000. And everyone looked at me and said, Ken, hang on a second. You don't understand.
Can't do it.
I mean, if you get $8,000 after expenses on a golf outing, that's
a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to. And like, in my head, I had the math down. I'm like, no, I think we can do it. So we had this banter back and forth. And finally, I was talking to, we'll do it $30,000. And you know what? I think we hit $31,000 or something that year. I'm like, see, if we would have made our goal 50, we would have hit 50.
And I think the next year we did hit 50.
It may have been the next year. I know we did it a couple years leading up to the big financial crisis, and then things got a little bit softer for a couple years following that, but a big downturn. But yeah, we did eventually hit 50 in a couple different years. So yeah, I knew I was right.
Well, thank you for your leadership on that. It has meant a lot.
Oh, it's exciting to see so many supported. There's been some dealers, some of our customers that have gone. In fact, locally, Les Petrie and
John Petrie.
And John, yeah, they're here today golfing. So, they've been a signature dealer for quite a number of years, and they're here supporting it today too. I know they're pretty passionate about being involved. So, yeah, it's been takes everybody to make it work. And so we do our part, everyone else does their part, and together we can hopefully continue to serve lots of moms and in some cases fathers. Who have children and are at risk or involved in homelessness. So,
thank you.
Well, Edith, thanks so much for being here. Is there anything else that you wanted to say to about Bridge of Hope that you were thinking you might get a chance to say that we didn't pull out of you?
I would love to repeat our website. It's bridgeofhopeinc.org.
Bridgeofhopeinc.org. And Bridge of Hope, Inc. is the national organization that sort of all the affiliates and locations roll up under. And so good. Bridgeofhopeinc.org. Anyone that's interested should go there. And Vic, maybe we can put that in the show notes put a link there too.
That's
so,
great.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you, Edith.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here today and taking some time. Yep. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. We had a great time. Edith was a delight to spend 25 to 30 minutes with that afternoon and to learn a little bit more. I learned a ton and hopefully you did as well. And whether it's Bridge of Hope or another nonprofit, hopefully that spurred some initiative and maybe you'll consider finding a way to give back.
Yeah, you know, I think I mentioned in our conversation that I had no idea there was even a homeless problem in Lancaster County. It just, it's under the radar. I mean, I never saw it. Maybe it's a shocking admission of how sheltered I am, but it just didn't seem like it was something that happened here.
Yeah.
And those needs are all around us. And if we're not paying attention, if we just get caught up in our own lives and just, you know, kind of carry on in our own circles, it's easy to overlook that stuff. So, yeah, it was a good conversation, and we're certainly grateful to Edith for her leadership there.
Yeah,
and, when you're given to something that's growing and prospering and making, you can see the fruits of their labor, and you're supporting it. You feel like you're part of it, and it's very rewarding. So it's an honor to be walking with them on that journey, and with her in particular. So,
absolutely.
All right.
Well, in closing, thanks as always for tuning in, and hopefully you found value in our show, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to go back to serving others, starting with our customers.
That's right.
If we do that well, we can continue to serve in other ways.
There you go.
All right, great. Thanks, Vic.
Yeah, thank you, Ken.